From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 29th day of September 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. We'll get an update of crop progress across Illinois, Iowa, and Minnesota from the state statisticians. Chad Hart, agricultural economist, will be here from Iowa State Extension to talk about what conditions are like on the ground with corn harvest there in Iowa and how he thinks it's going to turn out better than maybe you would have expected. And along the way, we'll get an update of the weather forecast to that with Don Day from Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
December corn today, 2 cents lower at $3.64¾. The March at $3.74, down 1½. And May, a penny and a half lower at $3.79½. July down 1 at $3.84. And December at $3.83. For next year, 1½ cents lower. November beans, 3¼ lower, $9.93. The settlement price. January at $9.97, down 3¼. May beans, 2¼ lower at $9.93¾. And next year's July at $9.98½, down 1½. November of 2021 at $9.47½. They ended a penny and 3/4 higher for the day. Bean oil futures down 42 cents. The bean meal, $5.30 lower. Soft red winter wheat for the July down 1 at $5.61. The hard red at $5.75. 6½ cents lower. Live cattle futures in Chicago, October up 95 cents at $108.90. Feeder cattle at $142.92½ in the lead October, $2 higher. And lean hogs down 32½ cents at $72.37½. Crude oil for the day down $1.37. Ethanol futures 3 7/10 higher. Heating oil or diesel fuel 3 cents lower. And gasoline on the RBOB, $1.19¼ per gallon. That's the wholesale price, down 4¼ cents. The Dow is around 100 points lower. The U.S. dollar is down 0.39. And gold futures are up about $20 at $1,893. We're now joined by Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, to take a look at the marketplace and talk about what happened in Chicago. Good Tuesday to you, Wayne. Thanks for being with us.
Well, great to be here. Well, Todd, it's an exciting day before the day that we get the numbers from the government. Yesterday we got the harvest. We were along about 15% on corn, 20% on beans. Not quite as far along as some thought we might have been, but we're making fast progress here as it looks that way. So, and then tomorrow we're going to get the stocks or the ending stocks or beginning stocks, however you want to put it like that. And, the numbers are, we've got the averages, the guesses and everything like that. And it's if they'll be different from those as we look at things. There are some people thinking that we might, up the feed usage to take down the corn number a little bit. They're hoping for that as we go along. There's some others that are thinking we might use a little more bean meal in the feed also, too, so a little more bean usage. But, it's going to be what the numbers say tomorrow is really going to push the funds one way or another because, boy, they're long. Funds are long, 92,000 corn and 185,000 beans.
Those grain stocks numbers are due out at 11 a.m. tomorrow. Be sure to visit our website, willag.org, or follow me on Twitter. It'll be on both places, actually. I'm at Commodity Week on Twitter. If you're looking for the handle, we get those numbers out to you just about the same time that they're released. It doesn't take very long to do that. And then, of course, those numbers are rolled mostly directly into the crop production and WASDE reports that come out in the month of October. So there are a whole lots of things that happen at the end of the year. This is the end of the fiscal year that don't happen can't happen in the rest of the year. So it really does make a difference, especially for soybeans at this time. I do want to come back to something you mentioned because farmers are in the field. What are yields like that you've been hearing and how wide a range have you heard?
Well, I think, we haven't heard many corn yields. So what we have heard has been pretty good. It's been over 200 and we've had anywhere from 205 up to 267, I think, as far as dry corns went, but not as many yields there. I think our yields over here are tremendously good in the beans. Some of the late or the full season beans that didn't have the moisture to finish out did come down about 15 bushel from where we were, but we were here in most we were mid-60s to mid-70s and on our early beans that way. So some of them got down in the low 60s to high 50s on some of the late beans, but still a lot of stuff to go and that way. Now, there was one of the the fields, the target fields that way that they've been talking a lot. They said that Illinois did their, one of the bean fields, and it wasn't quite as good as they were hoping for. And the Indiana corn field that they did do was good. And that was the target fields that way. So that's something we've noticed. Now, we've noticed in talking to people in Illinois, depending on which part of the state you're in, there might be a 20-bushel yield difference. They're around Mazan, why that's been was a real dry area there, and they're down. And then you get back up to Route 80 or so there, why north of there, they're about 20 bushel better on their corn, so, and about 10 bushel better on their beans.
Hey, thanks so much. We'll talk with you again next week. We appreciate it. You have a great week and a good day.
All right. Thank you, Todd.
That's Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon. You can hear him again if you'd like on our website, of course, at willag.org, willag.org. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture updated the weekly crop progress report. Around the nation, 75% of the corn crop has now matured, 65% is the five-year rolling average. 15% of the crop has been harvested. That's just about on pace with the five-year average. And 47% of the crop is in good condition, 14% in excellent, the same as the previous week. 74% of the soybeans are dropping leaves now, 69% the five-year average. Average 20% of the crop has been harvested. 15% is the rolling five-year average. The good to excellent rating, 51% good, 13% excellent, down 1 percentage point between the two over the previous week. And now here are the updates from the statisticians in Iowa, Illinois, and Minnesota.
This is Melissa Couch, agricultural statistician for the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service. Harvest showed rapid progress as Iowa farmers made the most of 6.4 days suitable for field work during the week ending September 27, 2020. Field activities also included drilling cover crops, applying fertilizer and manure, and fall tillage. Corn was 97% in or beyond dent stage, over 2 weeks ahead of the previous year and 3 days ahead of the five-year average. Only 18% of the crop has yet to reach maturity, 3 weeks ahead of last year and 9 days ahead of average. Corn harvest for grain reached 12% statewide, almost 3 weeks ahead of last year and 9 days ahead of average. This is the highest percent of corn harvest for grain completed by September 27 since 2012, when 48% of the crop had been harvested. Corn condition rated 42% good to excellent. Soybeans coloring or beyond advanced to 96%, which is 2 weeks ahead of last year and 1 week ahead of average. 84% of the soybean crop was dropping leaves or beyond, 16 days ahead of last year and 8 days ahead of average. Soybean harvest was 30% complete, 19 days ahead of last year and 12 days ahead of average. This was the largest proportion of soybeans harvested by September 27 since 2012, when 41% had been harvested. Farmers in northwest and west central Iowa continued to lead the way with almost half of their soybean acreage harvested. Soybean condition rated 47% good to excellent. Livestock felt the effect of changing temperatures. Low levels of water in ponds and creeks have made providing water for cows on pasture a challenge for some producers. For the USDA NAS Upper Midwest Regional Field Office, this is Melissa Couch.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. There was an average of 6.6 days suitable for field work across Illinois last week, and topsoil moisture supplies were rated 11% very short, 25 short, 62 adequate, and 2% surplus. Soybeans in Illinois were turning color on 87% of acres compared to 71 year ago and 87% for the five-year average. 60% of soybean acres were dropping leaves compared to 65 normally, and farmers have harvested 11% of soybean acres compared to 16 normally. Soybean conditions were reported as 7% very poor to poor, 21 fair, and 72% good to excellent, nearly unchanged from the previous week. The Illinois corn crop has reached maturity on 73% of acres, compared to 36% last year and 74% normally. Illinois farmers have harvested 13% of corn acres, compared to 24% normally. The corn crop was rated 7% very poor to poor, 20% fair, and 73% good to excellent, also nearly unchanged from the previous week. Winter wheat planting is 8% finished, compared to 3% 1 year ago and 4% normally. In other news, NASS will publish the Small Grains Annual Summary and Grain Stocks reports on Wednesday, September 30 at 11 a.m. Central Time. These two reports will have the final statistics for wheat acreage yield and production for 2020, as well as the ending stock supplies for corn and soybeans in Illinois and around the country. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, State Statistician for the USDA NASS Minnesota Field Office. Dry weather and above average temperatures advanced crop maturity and harvest progress during the week. There were 5.9 days suitable for field work. Field activities included harvesting corn for grain, soybeans, corn for silage, potatoes, sugar beets, sunflowers, and dry beans. Corn for grain had reached maturity on 85% of the acres. That's 22 days ahead of last year and 13 days ahead of the five-year average. The corn for grain harvest started and was 6% complete. This is 17 days ahead of last year and 5 days ahead of average. Corn moisture content of grain at harvest averaged 24%. Corn harvest for silage reached 91% complete. That's 24 days ahead of last year and 15 days ahead of average. Corn condition improved slightly to 78% good to excellent. Soybean acres were 90% dropping leaves. That's 15 days ahead of last year and 1 week ahead of average. Soybeans were 31% harvested. That's 20 days ahead of last year and 6 days ahead of average. Soybean condition improved slightly to 77% good to excellent. For the USDA NASS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the Midwest during the growing season. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Just a quick reminder to be safe out there during this harvest season. If you're on the byroads, watch out for the farmers. Those are really slow-moving vehicles. Even sometimes the ones that look like they can go faster aren't moving that fast. And more often than not, the accidents that do take place are when a car or truck comes up from behind one of those vehicles and doesn't realize it's moving quite so slowly. So be careful out there. I know the farmers are watching out for you. You watch out for them. Speaking of which, if you're a farmer, be careful as well. You know very well that that machinery is pretty tough on you all day long and you're working some serious hours. In fact, you probably should take a nap. Turn the radio down at the moment if you want and make sure you get some shut-eye for 20 minutes or so. That'll help keep you in condition all day long. And one final note, because coronavirus and COVID-19 can take you out for about 2 to 3 weeks just from being tired, if nothing else, make sure that you mask up when you're within distance of somebody that you're not normally working with. So be careful out there and have a good harvest season. Speaking of which, Don Day is here from Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, to discuss the weather forecast. Hey, Don, thanks for being with us today.
Good to be here.
Well, tell me about the weather forecast for harvest across the Midwest, please.
Well, it's going to stay relatively cool. We've got a big, broad area of low pressure that's been carved out by the jet stream that goes from the northern plains states to the Great Lakes and Midwest. Now, there is a lot of cool weather with it. Precipitation is going to be a possibility, but we're expecting it at least here over the next couple of days to be more in the northern areas, more towards the Great Lakes, Minnesota, Wisconsin. That's going to leave the rest of the Corn Belt into the weekend, at least the beginning of the weekend with not much going on. But we do expect Saturday into Sunday some shower activity to move into Iowa, Illinois, parts of Indiana. It doesn't look like it'll be excessive, but some cooler, wet weather for the weekend is on the way.
And for the following week?
Well, following week, we're going to see a little bit of a warmer, drier trend. We are expecting that next week's weather is going to be fairly unremarkable, which would mean good for harvest.
Is there anything of interest in the longer-term forecast for the month of October?
Well, what I think we're going to see is a fairly quiet start to the month of October. What we do see on our long-range charts today, and we're getting more and more hints at this, that right around the 10th of October, somewhere around that date and thereafter, we are going to see a more active, colder weather pattern going west to east across the country, which is actually about when you'd expect things to change as we get deeper into the fall season.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Don Days with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Chad Hart now joins us from Iowa State University Extension. He's an agricultural economist there that follows the commodity markets. Hi, Chad. Thank you for being with us today. Can you give me first your assessment of corn harvest to begin with in Iowa, especially through the derecho area on the eastern side of the state, central to eastern, and then the droughty area that would have been into the western and the southwestern portion of the state of Iowa?
So what we're seeing here is harvest that started a bit early, and the idea is, as you mentioned, both the drought and the derecho working into those harvest plans here. For some of our producers, they were zeroed out. There was a fair amount of damage, especially in the central part of the state that sort of, if you will, overlapped between the drought and the derecho. But we, for the areas that just suffered one of those, what I'm finding is that as people get out, we start to get the harvest numbers in. We are finding that we are salvaging, if you will, a little bit more of the crop than they were expecting to get. That yields are a little bit higher. And I think that goes back to, you know, when you look at this crop before the drought and derecho really took hold, we had, good planting season. We had plenty of early season moisture to work with. That got this crop off to a good start. And that helped it when we came to a rather abrupt finish here, that we are able to get a little more yield out of these fields than you would have thought just looking at them.
Is it enough to change your fundamental view of what Iowa will be like?
No, it's not enough to change that, and I think when you look at USDA's estimates, after the aftermath of these weather events, it basically said you take Iowa's yield down sizably, but you're still talking about a very good sized crop coming out of the state of Iowa. And when you add that to what we're seeing across the nation, while we're no longer talking about record crops, we are still talking about some very large crops moving in this harvest season.
And what do you believe that means for price over time?
Well, and I think we're seeing that as we look at the price reaction, especially late last week, early this week. We've seen some downward pressure there because I think what we've done is we have now fully built in what the drought and the derecho took out. We built in some international demand, and now we're saying, okay, let's go back and reevaluate just how big this crop is, how quickly it's starting to come in here. And you've seen that typical downward seasonal price pressure here as we enter harvest.
What does the export market look like for you for both corn and soybeans this year?
For both corn and soybeans this year, it's looking better than especially the past couple of years. You could argue that beans is basically on a record path right now, as we've already booked well over 1.2 billion bushels into the export market. Corn, not nearly as high as soybeans, but still a really good year, especially in comparison to the last couple. And it is China that is leading the charge when you're looking at that soybean market, for example. Nearly 60% of those sales are headed into the Chinese market, with another sizable chunk in that unknown destinations category, which tends to lean towards China as well. When I'm looking at the corn market, nearly, I think it's 45% of the sales, advanced sales, have been to the Chinese market. So you're definitely seeing China step up the pace in order to at least get close to those phase one trade targets. But we're also seeing some growth in other markets out there. While China's the biggest mover, it's not the only one that's helping push that export picture to look a bit better for us as we look at the 2020-2021 crops.
Do you still have concerns about the demand for ethanol related to coronavirus and COVID-19?
Yes, I do. And I think what you've seen here is that the ethanol industry, did bounce back as we released the stay-at-home orders from COVID-19 across the nation. But the idea is that we didn't fully bounce back. We still are only producing or utilizing, 95 million bushels a week for ethanol. Pre-COVID, we would have been talking about a number in the 100 to 105 million bushel range. So we're still, down just a few ticks there. And that's what's being reflected when I look at USDA's numbers as they look out for the next year. They're saying that we're going to probably stay at this lower level of production for some time, especially here as we look at this time of the year. This is when, the traditional driving season is waning as we get into the fall and winter months, and you tend to see the industry slow down a little bit anyway.
The Hogs and Pigs report showed breeding stock down for the second quarter. The number of heavyweight hogs on hand appears to be larger than the trade had expected. What does this say about usage near term and in the first and second quarter for Iowa and the rest of the nation for corn?
Well, I think when you're looking here, having that number down, does concern a little bit about feed demand going out here. That said, though, one of the things I'm watching within the pork industry is sort of this dichotomy of right now we seem to be pulling down some of those numbers as we look out into 2021. But when I look at the export pace that we're setting up there right now, it looks like the international markets are trying to pull this market where we may see a rebound in those numbers as we get deeper into 2021. Just like we talked about with corn and soybeans, when I'm looking at hog exports right now, they are basically off the charts. We're at record territory right now. Again, China leading the charge, but we're also seeing some growth in areas like Japan, Canada, Australia. And so we've seen very strong global demand growth over the past year. And that will likely lead to, hopefully, and we are starting to see it in futures prices here. We've seen a dramatic pull up over the past 2-3 weeks. I think that will help boost those numbers longer term.
Anything else before I let you go?
I think one of the biggest things here as I'm looking at this is what is nice about where we've gotten right now, especially looking at the crop side markets. We've seen this contra-seasonal rally that has given crop farmers here an opportunity to at least put in some price protection. I was looking at the soybean market this morning, and even with the pull down we've had over the past week, you're still talking about prices that are better now than they were at the first of the year. When I'm looking at corn, these are, looking now, even with a pull down, we're still back to where we were at the end of March. So we went a long time with some low prices. Now that we've got a little bit of a bump here right before harvest, it's nice because it does give farmers, they say, some opportunity to at least lock in some price protection for the coming year.
Chad Hart is an extension agricultural economist at Iowa State University, located there on the campus in Ames. You've been listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media.